Good morning. It's good to see all of you here. Good to see our esteemed visitors. And you are our most special and welcome guest today. And we want everybody to take part in the singing. It's good to see everybody out, like we said, and good to see this wonderful weather. Let's start with number 3 in the Gray Book, favorite gospel songs. There is a fountain. Number 3. Good. All right. Let's turn to number 56. Number 56. Heaven has it all.
Heaven has it all, yes. Heaven has it all, yes. Thank you, Brother Sam, Sister Rachel. Thankful for each and every one being here today, and you're singing the good songs of the church this morning. I hope that you have been blessed this week. Been a little bit of a busy week, especially in the weekend. We hosted the Tennessee State Singing Convention the last 2 days, and it was a good time. Had big crowd. I think probably better than 100 people were here from, I don't know how many states, but several were here, and they all seemed to have a really good time with the singing and everything. And you that got to attend, I hope you were blessed greatly by it. But it's been a busy week. We've had several that's went to the hospital this week, and we want to be praying for them. But we just especially want to be prayerful for one another today in this service. Glad to have our visitors with us. We got several visitors today, and I thank you for coming to be with us today. I hope you get a blessing out of this service today. We're going to move right along. Brother Tom is going to be doing the children's church this morning, so I'll turn it over to him at this time.
All right. Let's go, everybody.
Going over to this side?
We're going over to this side.
Going over this side?
God knows. he'll speak to your heart. But when he speaks to your heart, I want you to tell somebody. Tell your mom, tell your dad, tell somebody that's sitting beside you in church. But it's important for you to tell somebody right away. And then you need to pray.
Amen.
And you talk to God. That's the only way that we can get saved. It's not shaking the preacher's hand. It's not signing a card. It's all between you and God. And I know a few of you up here have already been saved, and you can probably amen on that if you want to. But the reason I tell you this is because it was important for me. I got saved when I was pretty young. But when God spoke to my heart, I knew what to do because my dad had told me. So what I used to do with him, he was a praying man, and y'all have probably heard him pray, but he would go and pray every day, and he would take me with him. And one of the places that we would go was up in the barn where we had some goats, and we would feed the goats, we would throw down hay, and then he would pray, but he would then set me up on those hay bales, and I still remember this, and he would tell me about what to do when God came and spoke to my heart. So I want to do that for you today, so that when God does come and speak to your heart, that you know what to do. And if he has already spoken to your heart, and you feel like you're not where God wants you to be, tell somebody and seek him out and pray to him.
Amen.
That's the only way that we can be saved, is praying to God. Repentance and confession.
Amen.
So this is a little bit of a heavier topic than we normally talk about, but it's so important. And I want you to know, because I love you all so much, and this church loves you all so much. Now I want to encourage parents and Sunday school teachers and everybody here at the church to talk to your children about being saved so that they know what to expect. Yeah, because it will come. And I love you all. I appreciate y'all coming up here. I'm so happy that you're here today. You can go.
Amen.
Amen.
Brother Tom, thank you all you young ones that came up. Good lesson. Good lesson. Many times, as standing here in the pulpit and preaching, we go through some of those same things in our sermons and such. But it's always good to get someone else to speak to children a lot of times, and even to us, just to enforce what's been said out of the pulpit. Thank you, Brother Tom. Good lesson today. Good to see everybody out today. It's good to see all of our visitors here. Like I said, I hope you've had a blessed week. I hope you have a blessed day here in our service today. Does anybody have a prayer request on your heart this morning before we go to the Lord in prayer? Let's do remember Brother Sam's mother in our prayers. Somebody else? Yes, ma'am. Yes. Pray for Sister Barbara. She's got doctor's appointments coming up. She's been, I guess it's the first time she's been in at least, I'd say, 2 or 3 weeks. And because of sickness and such, and we're glad she's back with us today, let's do remember her. I'm going to ask you to remember our other sister, Barbara Davenport. She did some time in the hospital this week, and also Sister Mona did a little bit of time too, and there may be others that I didn't hear about. We need to pray for all of our members that's not well. Somebody else. Let's remember these young ones. This lesson today, some of them that high, we say, well, why are you telling them about the Lord now? Brother Tom told you. He remembered those things. Yeah, they may be really too young to understand it, but those little pieces will be right there in their minds as time goes on. And if we pray with them on a regular basis before they come to the place where they know that they get saved, they're going to trust us to come and tell us that they need our prayers, that they need our help. So let's pray with them now. Let's tell them about the Lord every chance. Don't just rely on the Sunday school teachers and the preachers or deacons or somebody else to tell them. Let's tell them ourselves. I'm going to tell you one, but I'm going to brag on Brother Tom a little bit more. How did he do all that? I love you. And we need to enforce that so much. I love you. Somebody else got a word on your heart. I thought I heard somebody start. I appreciate each and every one being here today. I hope that we can all come together and serve the Lord in this service in a great big way today. Let's do what the Lord would put upon each and every one of us' hearts today. And let's just ask him to be here in this service today. We're going to call on one to start our prayer if there's not another prayer request. If not, we're going to call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way. Brother Tim, if you would you start our prayer, please?
Appreciate that. Let's turn to where we were a minute ago, number 57. Yes, go ahead. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
That's a good song. Well, why don't we sing that? Why don't we sing that? Since you played it and I saw some of you sing it, we'll get to 57 in a minute. 214 is that song. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Good. Now let's go back to 57. We had picked that out a while ago, but thank you for mentioning that, Miss Wendy.
So
as I've said two or three times, if the Lord gives you something today, please do it. Anybody got a word on your heart? I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here today. I hope you are thankful to be here. As we said earlier, we're glad to have all of our visitors with us. Thank you for coming. And I hope that you get a blessing out of being here today. And I hope God will just give you a great big spiritual blessing. As I say many times, God gave us breath to be able to come. He gave you a car or a truck or something, a vehicle to travel in. And that's a blessing. We may not look at it that way sometimes, but the best blessings are those that bubble up on the inside, that reminds us of our salvation and of God's goodness. And I hope and pray today that we have been blessed and we'll get even more of a blessing. Does anybody have a word of testimony or anything on your heart before we go any farther in the service? We're going to take a reading lesson, and I'm going to say again from 1 Peter, the third chapter. Back a few weeks ago, I used a portion of this, and we're going to use another portion of this chapter for our message today. And while you're turning there, I'm going to kind of give you the background of this message. I had this scripture come to mind earlier in the week, and I thought that I always, when I get a thought like that, I'll put it in my notes and on my phone. And so when that I got ready to start working on my message, I went to my phone, and it wasn't there. I thought, okay, Lord, where are we going now? And I had no idea what the scripture was, and I couldn't remember it. And ever since I started preaching, I've had kind of a method in which that if I didn't have a thought on my mind already, I could thumb through my Bible to find the scripture that the Lord wanted me to have or subject. And basically it's just starting at a place, either going right or left, and reading various scripture through that. But the fourth turn came back to this verse. I have no doubt the Lord wanted me to preach on this message today. I have no idea where this message is completely going. I have no idea who it's meant for. It's going to be a little different type of sermon today. I don't think that I've ever preached on it. But I hope that you'll be prayerful that the Lord will use this message to His honor and glory today. As I said, we're reading out of the third chapter of 1 Peter today. I would like to read several verses, but I believe it's needful for us to drop down to verse 18. Verse 18. And it says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water, the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." I do want to back up and say, notice that there is parentheses there. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. And it's by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. That's reading verses 18 down through verse 22 for our reading lesson today. And as I said, I need your prayers today that this message will be what God wants it to be. This is not going to be an easy subject. If you go back and read the entirety of this chapter, and actually even the second chapter itself, you'll see a lot of instruction that Peter gave to the early church on the way that they were to live and the ways that they might behave. I believe it's also in the first chapter, it says that you might know how to behave, notice the word behave, thyself in the house of God. Now, he talks about the men, the husbands, and how they live, about the wives, and about the way that they are to live and the way that they're supposed to do in their lives. It all comes down throughout, especially in this third chapter, about the way that we are to live before the world. If you go back up into the 15th verse, you get probably one of my favorite verses where it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give a reason for the hope that is within you." Now, the next couple of verses talks about the persecution that will be going on. We had that this week, didn't we? A persecution of people that were that spoke for God in many ways. I'll say that. Not always do people speak for God when they're actually saying that they're speaking for God. But then there was the thing that happened. I'm just going to say it that way. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. Now, back up for just a moment. Everybody's bragged about my tie today because it's different. I did have one person that says, "It's not a good day to wear that tie." Now, I'm bringing that up, and I want to thank that man for saying that because God's going to use it. Don't think about that sometimes. But in the actions of this week, a lot of people have got into their minds, it's not a good time to be a Christian. There's never been a good time to be a saved individual. There is always a good time to be a child of God. I want you to understand that today. That's the purpose of this message today, that we might be thankful and that we might live a Christian life. These scriptures today are going to be a little different in our minds about how this is going to work out as far as it showing the fact of being a child of God. And what I'm going to use is the term of Christian. You know, I don't like to use that term a lot because I believe a Christian, the actual term, was meant that they were Christ-like, not on the inside, but on the outside. It was technically used as an insult on the start, I believe, from what I read in the scripture. I believe it was actually an insult that was meant for the early church to say that. But it became a compliment because it meant Christ-like in his behaviors. Now, in our reading lesson today, you noticed in verse 18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, and the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." That's the start of a Christian life right there. You cannot be a Christian and not be saved first and foremost today. I want everybody to always understand that. There's a lot of people out there, they'll come in before individuals, and you'll ask them, have you been saved? And what they'll generally say, "Well, I've been a Christian since blank time." I didn't ask, "Was you a Christian?" I asked, "Have you been saved?" That's the word of the Bible. Have you been saved by the grace of God? That's what Brother Tom was talking to the children about, a time in which that they would need to be saved. And that only happens through the work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How that he suffered and died there on the cross of Calvary that we might be saved. But then I want you to notice in the next verse, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. This verse, or really the next few verses, are controversial verses in the Bible. There are certain doctrines, they base a whole thought on these next couple of verses is what they'll do. And I'm not going to condemn them today, but I want to explain them in a way that we can know that we are serving a true and living God, and that we need to live the life that God wants us to do. Now, in this verse, he says, by which also he went. Now, the term he there is pointing toward Jesus himself, or actually, I would say, God himself. Jesus is God, isn't he? He is the second part of the Trinity, meaning God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. They are all God, three different ones, but they are God is what they are. And all of that is coming together to be God. So he says, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Now many individuals, they want to say that this was not speaking about the preaching of the gospel unto individuals here in this world. You know, before that an individual can get saved, the word of God has to come in here, go in here, and then work its way down here. It's got to. It's going to go through their bodies, but therein, when it gets down to the heart of an individual, that's when God is dealing with an individual. You'll notice in that verse, he said, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Let's talk about those spirits. God is a spirit, right? Is that not what Jesus told the Samaritan woman in the fourth chapter? God is a spirit, and he seeketh them that will worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, what did he mean by that spirit there? God being a spirit, he wants our inward man, the spiritual man, to be that part that truly worships him. How does the spirit worship him? Well, if we technically do what we ought to do in our worship today, we will allow the inward man, you can call him the soul, you can call him the spirit, but that you will allow that inward man to flow into a place where it will worship. Now, what Paul said in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans was this. He says, but there is a war. He called it enmity between the flesh and the spirit. How many of you ever fought with your inward man? How many of you ever fought with the Spirit of God? I know I have many times. I put it this way. I know to do good, and I do it not. That is a warfare that usually is won by the flesh, is what it's doing. But God is wanting to deal with your inward man, and he's wanting your inward man to truly worship God. You know what it'll do? You might say, well, I'm worshiping God in myself here this morning. I'm praising him throughout the singing, throughout the praying, and throughout the messages of the day. I'm inside of me. But the true worship of God in the spirit should work its way out to the flesh and be exposing the world to that. Listen here. He said, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. God uses the foolishness of preaching to save them which are lost. That's what Paul wrote in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, didn't he? He uses the foolishness of preaching. Yeah, this kind of preaching is foolishness unto the world. I want you to know something. That's not only me or another man that's called of God standing in the pulpit. It is your testimony. It is the message that God is extending to the world. And what he said, to the spirits that are in prison. You know how that those spirits are in prison? The people that are unsaved today, they are caught in a lockdown, if you would. That actual word prison there, it's not talking about a jail, but it's under guards, you might say. And what it is, the devil is guarding the souls of those that are sinful, those that have not believed and trusted in God. If you've never been saved, you may not consider yourselves a prisoner, but you are. You're caught by the devil himself. He's got you in his grasp. He's guarding you that you will not turn to God Almighty. Why don't he want you to turn to God Almighty today? I want you to realize, if he drags you to hell, he won a small victory. You know, when the military goes into battles, into a war, do you realize there's not just one big battle? Yes, many times there are great big battles. But if you hear them talk about the Civil War, you'll hear them talk about the battle that was down here down the road. You'll hear them talking about the battle in Nashville. You'll hear them talking about Gettysburg. You'll hear them talking about that battle over there. But my friends, today, if a sinner does not trust in God, Satan won that battle. And sinner friend, you're going to be caught in that battle as a sinner in the sight of God. Now let's get back to our thought. You're in prison. You're in prison today by Satan. You're caught. And I'll use even this word. You're a slave to your sin. And what I mean by slave, you're a servant of it. You're a servant in such a way that you yourself are caught up. You're bought with the price of God. But you haven't taken advantage of that price that Jesus did there on the cross of Calvary. Now, let's move right along here today in the 20th verse. He said, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few is, eight souls were saved by water. Now, this is another one of those controversial scriptures here. And what it basically says here, he says, first of all, they were disobedient. Calls it sometimes disobedient. Well, every sinner that is still in sin, you're still in that sometimes thing. You know, myself, I being an older man, I suffer from what I call sometimers. And what that means is sometimes I forget where I'm at. Sometimes I forget who somebody is. Sometimes I forget that. But sometimes sinners put it off in their minds that they are sinners in the sight of God and that they are doomed for a devil's hell. Sometimes they forget that very thing here. And he says, and then, but those times when it comes to their minds, then they're disobedient unto God and they fail to trust the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They fail. They just disobey him, in other words. What does that mean? They disbelieve the very fact that Jesus came and died on the cross of Calvary that they might be saved. They don't believe it inside of themselves. Oh, yeah, they were taught it in Sunday school. Yes, they were taught it by their parents, but there's always that little portion of their soul that has never completely believed it. You talk to some of these people around here that are saved, and you'll find that some of them, at one time, they thought they were saved. Maybe it was because somebody told them they were saved. Maybe it was because they just deceived themselves and said, oh, I'm okay. I wouldn't go to hell right now. No, I wouldn't do that. Sometimes it's other things that happens and they deceive themselves. But down deep in their soul, they realize there has never been a change to make them saved. Safe in the arms of God. He said, and sometimes we're disobedient. Now, this is the example that Peter gives here. He said, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved. He gives us an example here. He gives us an example. There was a time when God said, I'm tired of my creation. He said, but I'm going to have mercy on them. I'm going to give them 120 years. Boy, he set a time on it. He set a time that said, I'm going to give them 120 years that the world, the people of this world, can change their ways. They can turn towards me. But if they don't, I want to spare the human race, he said. I'm going to instruct my man, Noah, to build an ark. And not only did he build an ark, but we find in the scripture where it says that he was a preacher of righteousness. In other words, he preached to them all of that 120 years while that the ark was in preparing unto that time. But what he did in that time, he showed them that the ark was preparing. I want you to realize today, we don't have a big wooden ark out here that you're going to get on and go to heaven on, but we have one inside of this church house today, and his name is Jesus, the Son of God, and he is that ark that you've got to get on. But you're going to have to make an effort to get there. You're going to have to get to the place where your soul believes completely the message. Noah preached 120 years. All that we know of that ever got saved was eight souls. I believe Noah was saved before it all started. I figure his wife probably was. I don't think his sons were. It says they were born in that year. So somewhere in that 120 years, three boys got saved. They married some girls and they heard the preaching and they believed. And they got on the ark. Sinner friend, what about you today? Are you going to believe what I'm telling you? Are you going to believe what your parents have told you? Maybe it's what your wife or husband told you. Maybe it's what your friends have told you. Are you going to believe what they are telling you, that you need to get on the ark today? Or are you going to just pass it off and say there's no need in that? It's not a good time to be a Christian. Oh, there's no better time to be a child of God than right now. Now, I want to go back to one thing here. I said they had 120 years to get ready. You reckon we're in our 120 years? that's a thought I always have. I'm going to tell you something. I believe we're way under 120 years. You could say, I believe that it's probably going to be within the next 7 years. Hey, I'm going to be honest with you. I want Daddy don't come back today. That he don't destroy this world. And the only ark that you can get on is Jesus Christ himself. You've got to get on that ark today. In case he comes back today, you better get on that ark today is what you better do. Now, listen to this. This goes back to us and our thought here. He said, the light figure, the eight souls were saved by water. The light figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Wait a minute here. That goes against what we as missionary Baptists preach, isn't it? We don't preach you get saved by baptism, do you? We don't preach that. Baptism will never save you. But he said it right there, preacher. What was he talking about? Let me give you the other verse I was going to. Let's go over 1 Corinthians, 10th chapter. Moreover, brethren, first verse, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Wait a minute, they were baptized, the children of Israel? I thought they went across on dry land. Yes, sir, they sure did. You know what it did? Moses got up there to the Red Sea, and what the Scripture said, that they got right up there to it, and of course they was ready to turn back, just like you are, sinner friend, today. I know you're ready to turn back because you just don't want to make that step into that place, where that you'll be saved. But he said, they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. In other words, when God parted the Red Sea, he put it out on both sides. They had water on both sides. They went across dry land, but there was a cloud that was leading them. That's symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And it got down over them, and it shaded them and led them right across the Red Sea in that place. And they were submerged under the protection of God. What was that ark that Noah built? It was an ark of protection that saved those eight souls by water. Oh, that you'll hear people say, well, then you got to be baptized. That water's got to save you. No, that water, yes, it saved their physical lives. But how many souls, how many individuals? I believe there was millions of people upon the earth at that time that were destroyed by that water. They were. But they got on the ark of safety, which is a picture of Christ. And it brought them up out of the sinful things of the world. In the day that the Lord comes back, the only ones that are going to be with the Lord are the ones that are already in the ark of safety of Jesus Christ. And when that the Lord calls us home, you know what he's going to do? He's going to lift us up out of this world. The Bible in the book of 1 Thessalonians, it says that the graves will burst open. Everybody's going to come out of it. And what the Scripture says, and we which remain shall be changed in a moment and a twinkling of an eye, and we'll all be caught up together to be with him. But the sinners will not. They're going to be left behind. And I want you to know something. I don't believe in second chances with the Lord. I read and studied in these verses how that people believed that the Lord went back to those people in Noah's day. And you know, They said he preached to them. Now I'm going to tell you what they say. In hell, that they might have an opportunity to be saved. You got to get saved in this world. You got to get on the ark now. You got to get ready for the ark to lift you up at that time, or there's no second chances. There's not. What I'm telling you today is you better get on the ark now. Amen. What he says here, he said, now notice the parentheses. He said, a like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. What that word baptism means, it means a complete immersion. Baptism of the Spirit of God is a complete immersion with God. And what that means is it fully covers us. Not this flesh, our soul. It makes a change. It covers us. It cleanses us. It's what it does. He said, not that baptism, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. If you go back up to verse 16, after he said, sanctify the Lord God in your heart, in verse 16 he says, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation. You know what my conscience says today? I'm saved. My soul is saved. You know what my conscience tells me? You don't live as good as you ought to. You may not live just exactly perfect. And my conscience, now what that is, that's the Spirit of God dealing with us, telling us you need to do better. If you curse, you need to put it away from you. Don't your conscience get after you every time you do it? If you're one that takes a little drink every once in a while, does not your conscience tell you you shouldn't do that? If you're one that's taking pills or something like that, does not your conscience tell you not to be doing those things? It's the Spirit of God telling you, you need to shed the light to this lost and dying world. When we are brought into the family of God, we are to be living like God as best as we possibly can. Putting away the filth of flesh, yes. But this is the answer of a good conscience. I can say today, I can sanctify the Lord God in my heart, and I can say this without a shadow of a doubt. There was a night back in July when I was 14-year-old, right about here on an old Moner's bench, that the Lord spoke peace to my soul, and he gave me something that just completely, whew, that feels good when the Spirit comes in there. And what it does, it went all over me. And when that I told about it, the joy of that salvation just kept pushing and moving me. You know what I did? I told my mother I was saved. I told the ones around me. I looked around at Brother Bell. I said, Brother Bell, I need to join the church. I want to be a member of this church. My friends, today, if you've been saved by the grace of God, you've never come under the hand of baptism, you need to do that. You need to put your light on the candlestick and put it up there for all the world to see. Thank God he did that for me. It's the answer of a good conscience toward God. I've talked about hope a lot lately. And that hope is not a wishing hope, but it is the answer of a good conscience, is what it is. He said, who is gone in, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Oh my goodness. We serve a God that's over everything. You think the mayor of this county has authority? Nah. You think the governor of Tennessee has some authority? Yeah, he's got some authority, but not compared to Jesus. You think the President Trump, oh man, he's a man that's got power, isn't he? He uses that power, is what he does. But you know, you think he's got some power? Not compared to Jesus. What about the leaders of other countries? Oh yeah, they got powers. Everybody talks about that Russian president over there, how he got all this, the Chinese president. They got power, yes, but I'm going to tell you something. They're going to fall down before God one of these days. They're going to fall down before him because they're in under him. Thank God he is above all and all. I don't know where this message is supposed to go today, but I thank God for it. I thank you for your attention today, Brother Sam, while we get a song today. If you're here today and you're lost, today's a good day to find him. Don't put it off. I told you, he gave Noah 120 years to preach to him, get as many saved as he possibly could. Are we in that 120 years? In my opinion, yes. I believe we're getting down to the last days myself. Oh, I do. I believe it. I wouldn't be surprised if he came back today when I look at the way our world is today. If we're not close to the way it was in the days of Noah, if we're not there, we're mighty close. And that's going to be your sign, is what the Bible said. So was it in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day when the Lord shall come again. You better get ready now. While we stand and sing. Sinner, seek the Lord.
103. 103.